This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.
Workers around the globe forced to work from home for months and did so, well, mostly successfully. Businesses are faced with the following question as we head towards the middle almost of 2021. Is the physical office space, is that coming to an end, or is this remote from home going to be a more permanent thing, or is it going to be a little bit of both? Well, I'm certainly not qualified to answer that, but Mandy Ubad, she's an MBA graduate from the University of Stellenbosch's Business School. Mandy, good morning. Great having you with us.
Good morning. Great being here.
So of the research that you did over the last year, many, many companies have gone to the work from home route and many have stayed, closing down physical offices. But the feeling we get just from the outside looking in, and you're the expert here based on your research project, you get this feeling though many have returned, but not all. So it seems like a little bit of both, a little bit of home, a little bit of office. Is that the way forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the main findings that stood out in the research is that certainly the experiences of working from home varied. And when I did the research, it was at the height of lockdown where everyone exclusively worked from home. So my study focused particularly on what the effect of only working from home without having the option to from time to time visit the office space would have on employee engagement. So my findings and the recommendations is then based on, is it really sustainable to only work remotely based on this remote work? Do we then still need an office space? So based on the findings, it was suggested that although people can definitely, to most extent, work successfully from home, a lot of employees actually struggle both emotionally and psychologically to work from home, particularly at the height. So that being said, it does suggest that employees would prefer to continue not only exclusively working from home, but have an option to, from time to time, actually visit the office space, have that personal interaction with their colleagues and with their teammates.
From your research, is it industry dependent, or is this the feeling across the board that we enjoy the time doing our own thing, but actually we miss walking up the corridor, knocking on a door and asking for some direction?
Certainly, my study affected a number of industries. So there were actually 9 different industries represented in the study, and there were similar findings across the board. So certainly we know that even within a particular organization, different roles may be more or less suited to remote work, but these findings were certainly not limited to one particular industry. It ranged over a broad range of industries, all suggesting similar findings.
Yeah, and so what were those findings in terms of the emotional side? It's one thing to say, you know, I've got to sit here behind my computer and work, and that's what I'm supposed to do. But what are some of the emotional responses as to reasons why it was or wasn't a good thing?
One of the main disadvantages was the lack of human interaction. So yeah, it's all good and well to sit on a million Zoom meetings, but it simply doesn't replace the in-person interaction. I think as a lot of people suffered from Zoom overload, we started getting into the habit of turning and switching cameras off. And if that happens, you lose out even more of the value and the quality of that communication. You can't pick up on some of these social cues. You can't pick up on a lot of the non-verbal communication. And then secondly, we also saw that working exclusively from home meant that everyone ate and slept and worked all in the same living space. And this could become mentally and emotionally demoralizing. I think you've mentioned earlier in terms of having the opportunity to walk down the corridor and to pop in and to collaborate with someone.
Yes.
So it definitely had a negative impact on some of that communication, the opportunities for that spontaneous collaboration with someone, reaching out, getting a quick answer, and having a quick call. So yeah, simply setting up a meeting 3 days later does not replace that instant response, that instant communication that you have the benefit of in an office environment.
Yeah, I've had this conversation or something around about this with many people, just sort of casually. And one of the things that have stood out for people is you no longer, you know, parking your car at home or, you know, walking into the front door, putting your bags down and saying, now work is behind me. I'm now home with my family. That boundary has been shattered and people struggling to wrestle back that difference or distancing home and work when work is home and work, as you said, is happening in the same place.
Absolutely. So that was one of the key findings, that people struggle to first initially to find and thereafter also to maintain their work-life balance. So certainly there are some benefits in remote work in terms of the flexibility that it brings. You are able to schedule your time. You are at home for those random ad hoc things that you need to attend to from home. But it does become challenging to really to maintain and to establish those boundaries. And that can, still back to the earlier question, have a negative impact emotionally and psychologically in terms of when do you really now switch off. You're still at home. You constantly at home. When is it work and when is it now home? So absolutely, that is a challenge, and that is one of the recommendations based on certainly the advantages of remote work, but not exclusively. People do need that break. You need to get out of your home. You need to get into an actual office, but have that physical interaction with an office environment. One of the other aspects, also people say, tend to, for working remotely, focus within the immediate team members. So there's also a sense that you lose track of what's happening in the broader organization, the organization as a whole, if you're only limiting your interaction to your immediate team members. So also that sense of belonging and connectedness to a broader and a wider organization that you tend to lose out on if you're only exclusively working from home.
Yeah, that's a big one. Mandy, but there are companies that have actually said working from home is saving us money. Money is something that, you know, finances and the bottom line been hit hard by this pandemic. And now we don't have any physical offices. Everybody is now needing to work from home. We'll make some resources available, but, you know, this is it. No more physical offices. Now there's not even a choice for some people. This seems like a space where people are going to have to set down very firm boundaries and are going to have to set even, emotional things in place for help and conversation with others. I mean, now there's a whole brand new take on how to deal with your overall wellness.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are two different aspects before we get to the topic of wellness. So certainly there might be cost-saving opportunities for employers, but we need to also note that it may just result in shifting the cost from the organization to the employees. There's still cost involved in terms of the physical infrastructure, the network, everything else that may be required. So certainly there is an opportunity to ask ourselves, do we still need as big an office? Do we need all these parking spaces? So there might still be an opportunity for cost savings on the side of organizations, but based on the study, would really recommend to still have some physical space available to allow employees the opportunity to, from time to time, when it's necessary, have that personal interaction. To the wellness point, absolutely. If companies and organizations adopt a remote work policy, whether exclusively or combined with office work, it is crucial that expectations and deliverables are clearly communicated so that everyone knows exactly what is happening and what is going on, but that is also accompanied by a formalized wellness structure, a wellness policy and program, so that you don't every single meeting just immediately go to the operational stuff, but you actually create an opportunity to check in on the well-being and the wellness of your staff members, because that is so critical, particularly if you don't have that face-to-face interaction to offset some of the negatives accompanied with exclusively remote work.
Yeah, we like that. I'm speaking to Mandy Ubash. She's an MBA graduate from the University of Stellenbosch's Business School. Mandy, what about the changing the philosophies in the workplace? Now people seeing, well, we were forced to do the remote work. We were always against flexi time because we assumed people would abuse it. And so we were keeping things as strict as possible. Then we didn't have a choice. Is there a place now where there's maybe a culture shift to say, well, we can see what is possible. Let's work a little bit. Let's be more flexible. Let's kind of get with the times.
Absolutely. I think you make such a valid point that before lockdown, a lot of companies were quite hesitant and quite skeptical about this concept and of remote work and the idea, well, if people aren't at their office, will they still actually do their job? Yeah. Will they still perform? Will they still be productive? And we've now seen by companies being forced to allow the employees to work from home, we've actually now been able to test it. Yes, initially, I think based on this pressure and of having to perform, of having to prove yourself, people were taking some strain in terms of those longer hours, their work-life balance we've mentioned. But along with it, certainly we've seen that the positive associated with remote work, people can work remotely. We've adapted a lot of our policies and procedures to come to enable us to work remotely. So certainly going forward, we would recommend that companies retain a remote work policy and particularly link to the positive aspects thereof and the positive relationship to employee engagement. The study found that employees who are able to combine working from home and remote might actually have a high level of employee engagement. So certainly based on the positive features and the positive effects we've seen during lockdown, even as the restrictions were lifted and companies started combining working from home and office work, I do believe that flexibility and the potential combination between would be the way of the future, the way of work in the future.
Just in closing, Mandy, you've made a recommendation for policies for this. I mean, these are some things that I think some management and HR are going to have to sit down and work out, because now the policies are going to be need to be looked at. What are some of the recommendations, just quickly, that you think need to be made into policy that are going to be for the benefit of the worker and the employee and the employer, rather?
I do believe that companies need to review their existing flexible work arrangement policies, both as it relates to flexi time and also flexi place. In other words, to allow employees an opportunity to work remotely, whether that is then formalized as 2 to 3 days a week as per the study, or whether it's formalized as allowing employees the flexibility for them to actually choose when they work and when they manage their own time and their own place of work. That is something that needs to be formalized and that needs to be clearly communicated. What is critical is that if companies adopt such a policy, they need to ensure that employees aren't entrusted to actually, when they decide to work remotely, to get on with their work and then to not penalize them, even if it's just in terms of a perception, you're not at the office again. Yeah. So to formalize that policy and to also then allow employees to use that policy. We've already mentioned that that should be accompanied by a formalized wellness program, yes, to ensure that employee well-being is being practiced as well as preached, particularly for those employees working remotely. This will then give organizations the opportunity to reconsider their physical office space after they've reviewed and formalized the flexible work arrangement policies to decide what really should our physical space now look like, tied back to this new flexible work arrangement. And finally then, I think just this policy of cameras on during meetings. You mentioned earlier how much you lose out on if you aren't actually able to see, you're already working remotely, if you're sitting in a Zoom meeting and you still don't have the benefit of seeing someone's face, picking up on the facial expressions, yes, the social cues, the nonverbal communication, you lose out so much more. So remote work policy, my recommendation is that then be accompanied by cameras on policy during virtual meetings.
Yeah, lots for companies to consider, and 2021 is well on its way to bringing more and more change. And someone who's on the cusp of that change is Mandy Huber. She's an MBA graduate at the University of Stellenbosch's Business School. Mandy, thanks for your hard work and well done, and thanks for sewing into our lives this morning. Appreciate your time. Have a great Thursday.
Great, thanks. Great chatting to you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.